How has Andy Burnham been spending his day? We're hearing tactics from Thomas Tuchel, and the Curious Cases team are considering a conundrum. They're making a very good impression, this lot. Dead Ringers is here in just a moment on Radio 4.
When someone says ancient Greece, you might think of its gods, mythology, or epic battles. But what was it actually like to live as an ancient Greek?
The Athenians were a hugely litigious lot. They're always in and out of court, as far as we can see.
I'll be uncovering five stories of fascinating real lives from the streets of ancient Greece.
She kind of says, do to me what you want, you know, see if I care.
Helped by historians and guests, including Martin Scorsese.
He is a gangster, and he knows how to move it.
Being Greek, with me, Mary Beard. Starts on Tuesday morning at 9 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
Now, this is Radio 4, I think.
BBC Radio 4. In half an hour, it's The Archers, where, thanks to the newly announced BBC cuts, Linda Snell will be played by an angry chicken. But now, in a change to the scheduled programme, it's Poetry Please with Ian McMillan.
Andy, Andy, Burnham Bright. Results that came in overnight. What immortal hand or eye could frame thy fearful leadership try? In what distant northern skies burnt the fire of thine eyes? To what ambition do you aspire? What the hand dare seize the power? What of winning? What of loss? Starmer, thou did double cross. Thy ambition unconcealed in the land of Makerfield. Andy, Andy Burnham Bright, results that came in overnight. Your glory may be brief and fleeting, but at least you're not Wes Bloody Streeting.
Dead Ringers.
It is an enormous honour to have been elected as your MP for Makerfield. It's only right and proper I pay tribute to my fellow candidates, from the Greens to the Tories, and even the monster-raving loony candidate, Reform's Rob Kenyon. But let me assure you now that I will not use the people of Makerfield merely as a stepping stone for higher office. More as a stone which one can step on, as it were, en route to a more important job. The country isn't where it should be. Decent working people are having to slave away at three jobs to make ends meet. For example, I heard of one bloke who had to be Manchester Mayor, MP for Makerfield, and now he's applying to be Prime Minister as well, just to put food on the table. You have given me a mandate for change. A final chance for Labour to change the change to a different change from the change we promised to change 2 years ago. You have rejected the politics of hate, saying loud and clear that we must have unity and healing. And to achieve that, I'm starting a bitter and divisive leadership contest. Because for all our differences, there is still one thing that unites us as a country. None of us like Keir Starmer.
Hello there, I'm Gary Lineker, and welcome to The Rest Is Football, proof that 30 million quid from Netflix doesn't necessarily improve production values. Following England's thrilling 4-2 win against Croatia on Wednesday, I'm delighted to be joined by the England manager, Thomas Tuchel.
Hello, Gary.
Congratulations, Thomas. That really was a game of two halves, wasn't it?
Yes. What else could it be?
Well, what I meant...
Association Football Law 7.1 states that all matches must consist of two halves, each lasting 45 minutes.
Okay.
With an appropriate amount added on at the referee's discretion to compensate for any significant non-playing stoppages.
Okay. Well, the boys really gave it 110%, didn't they?
No, Gary. it's mathematically impossible to give more than 100%, and with biological inefficiencies, the maximum amount of effort that can be given is closer to around 23 or 24%, with the rest lost as heat energy.
Well, what I mean is that they were really on it, weren't they? Elliot Anderson in particular covered every blade of grass on the pitch.
Are you saying Elliot Anderson is 105 metres long by 68 metres wide? He is not that, Gary, and as a result, he could not and did not cover every blade of grass on the pitch.
Noni Madueke was great, though, wasn't he? Constantly in acres of space.
No. No, that's incorrect. A standard 11-a-side football pitch typically measures between 1.5 and 2 acres, and at no point did I witness all the players, match officials and supporters shuffle around with Wakey to leave him in a perfect empty circle with a radius of 36 metres minimum.
Still, funny old game, isn't it?
No, Gary. It is not a funny game. I don't find it humorous in the slightest. Though, to be fair, I am German.
It's the most anticipated movie event of 2026. Christopher Nolan's Odyssey, starring Matt Damon as Odysseus and Tom Holland as Telemachus.
My son, we have been fighting this Trojan War for 10 long years now, and there's still no sign of victory. We must have angered one of the gods.
But which one, Father? Zeus? Athena?
The worst one of all. Musk.
Elon Musk? The god of assholes?
Yes, it is I, trillionaire god. Elon, bow down before me. Elon detests this movie's identity politics and anti-historical wokeness, even though I am curiously not worried at all about there being no Greeks in the cast. You cast Lupita Nyong'o as Helen of Troy, a decision that launched 1,000 Elon shitposts. Prepare for my wrath.
Please, spare us. The wokeness was not of our doing. I'm just here to stop being typecast as Spider-Man.
What can we do to appease you, Lord God?
It is simple. You must go into battle with a giant horse on wheels, which you will use to massacre all the Trojans and burn Troy to the ground.
But Lord, how can a horse on wheels cause such fire and destruction?
Simple. It will be built by Tesla.
Welcome back to the BBC's by-election coverage. I'm Laura Koonsberg. It's 4 a.m. in the morning. I've just chugged my 50th Pro Plus. I can hear colours. And Chris Mason has gone feral and is living behind the bins. I'm here with the new MP for Makerfield, Andy Burnham. Andy Burnham, congratulations, but what's the plan?
Well, Laura, here's the simple answer. Buses.
Buses.
As you know, Laura, I made my name by transforming Manchester's bus services. There's nothing that can't be solved by buses.
Well, that's not true. How would you have dealt with the Russians firing at yachts in the English Channel, for example?
Well, look, buses on Manchester's B network have never been fired on by Russia, Laura. That's clearly testament to how I run the buses.
OK, so how would you handle Donald Trump and don't say buses?
Trams.
Which are basically buses.
Well, if Donald Trump ever sits down next to me, I'll just move.
Move?
Like when the mad bloke gets on the bus.
How a are you going to help a Labour Party facing the very real threat of reform?
Well, I've already dealt with reform. Reform of the Manchester bus network. Nobody can fault me there.
Mr. Burnham, buses seem to be your only frame of reference.
Not at all, Laura. I will still do my very best for the party. Having won this seat, it's a priority.
Well, at least a proper answer.
A priority seat up the front. Please allow an elderly person to sit down or make way for a pram. Right, let's get to bloody work. I'm not the Messiah. I'm just a very northern boy.
So we're coming up to half-time. It's still the Netherlands 0, Japan 0, and now what's happened here? A Japan player has gone down off the ball. The other Japanese players are absolutely furious. Let's have a look at the replay. Well, the Netherlands player has blatantly punched him there. The referee can't have seen it, but VAR will surely intervene. It's a Scottish VAR team for this particular match. They're looking at the footage now. Here we go.
I want to make it plain. After video review, I have seen no evidence of wrongdoing whatsoever.
Can't quite believe what we're hearing here from assistant referee Sturgeon.
Look, I can only intervene when there's been a clear and obvious error. And as far as I'm concerned, nothing is clear and absolutely nothing is obvious. So let's get this game back underway. Not that I'm interested in games, which is why I didn't notice my husband's Nintendo 3DS console, the Xbox 360, or the Turtle Beach Wi-Fi ready gaming headset. And let me add, I have nothing to say about the whole camper van hoo-ha.
Just to clarify, camper van hoo-ha is the Dutch player. Who was involved in that incident? And you have to say, he's a very lucky boy.
Not that I can see.
Good morning. This is your interim Prime Minister. I am addressing you on this blackest of days, the occasion of our amazing by-election result. I know Labour supporters will be shocked and saddened by our stonking win in Makerfield. It is very easy to despair at our spectacular victory. But we will learn lessons and rise from the shattered debris of our triumph. There was always the danger that my Labour government would be outflanked by a crude populist party with cheap slogans and easy answers. And that party was, of course, the Labour Party. What is it with this Andy Burnham chap? I've been told by my aides that he's popular. Don't think I've ever heard that before. So, of course, I leapt into action, commissioning a focus group and asking friends what being popular was about. And what did I learn? That I have no friends and that focus groups can be really, really cruel. So my message is this. I'm going nowhere. I do not consider my position is under threat from Andy Burnham as he hovers there in the corner measuring the curtains while the removals van pulls up outside number 10. Because I don't reckon this whole being popular thing will catch on. It's just a passing fad, like fidget spinners or the Beatles. Thank you very much.
Hello, I'm Professor Hannah Fry.
And I'm Dara O'Brien.
Because apparently a lady scientist can only be taken seriously when a male comedian confirms what she says.
That's absolutely right, Hannah. This is Radio 4's Curious Cases, where we take your quirkiest questions and we solve them.
With the power of science. Let's play that annoying faux 60s spy drama sting that we have again.
It is annoying. What conundrum is it that we're going to be solving this week?
Well, here's a voice note from Sarah in Hastings.
Hi there. Can you tell me why, for the last few weeks, the Strait of Hormuz has been seemingly both open and closed at the same time? Also, why have you used that annoying music under this voice note?
Aw, she sounds cool. Thanks, Sarah. Joining us to help answer this puzzle is Dr. Johannes Kepler from the Helsinki Institute of Quantum Mechanics. Dr. Kepler, can you explain?
Well, in terms of the Strait of Hormuz, at a fundamental level, like everyone else, I have no idea what is going on.
Aw, thanks so much. Great jacket. scientifically then, we think it works like this. You put a deal in place with Iran and then add an isotope of fissile uranium as part of a nuclear program.
And then you simultaneously open and don't open the Gulf of Oman shipping route so that concurrently the price of oil goes up and down at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And the deal becomes a non-event mass with a probability of zero.
Thus, the deal is both alive and dead, and the US is both at war and not at war with Iran.
But the most important thing, of course, is you need to have what we call a Schrodinger's president. Someone who's simultaneously empty-headed and full of shit. And that's science.
You are listening to Radio 2 with me, Rylan. If my teeth were any whiter, they'd be standing for reform. Right. Okay, well, now, look who's popped into the studio to say hello. It's only my all-time bestie, Stacey Solomon.
You all right, babes?
I'm all right, babes. You all right, babes?
I'm all right, babes. You all right, babes?
Are you all right, babes?
I'm all right, babes.
Actually, truth be told, I'm not all right, babes.
You're not all right, babes? Oh, no, what's the problem then, babes?
It's just the world, babes. All of it. It's all just too much at the moment, isn't it?
I know what you mean, babes. Everywhere you look, this bad news, that bad news, more bad news. It's just so much of it. It's not for the likes of us, babes.
It's not for us, babes.
No, it's not us, babes.
Hold up. I'm just hearing from my producer that you were one of the main people campaigning for this social media ban for under 16s.
Oh, babes. I just think the cumulative effect of misinformation is a detriment to society.
But have you had a stroke, babes? You're right. None of these words, they're not real, babes.
They are, babes. There's a whole world out there of words that are proper.
OMG, your aura is so cooked, babes. No way is that true.
They really are, babes.
Have you been going behind my back, Stace, cheating on me with the actual real news?
I'm so sorry, babes. I accidentally had a little listen to Radio 4.
What? Don't you dare disrespect the memory of Scott Mills.
It's too late, babes. Oh, but the shipping forecast, it's so good. Even if I think Bailey is a Christmas drink and the German bite is something your teeth do on holiday, less said about Dogger, the better. And now, I also think Misha Glennie has proved to be a more than adequate replacement for Melvin Bragg on In Our Time. Even if I did find his take on the ancient nomadic Garamante civilization which flourished 2,000 years ago in what is now modern Libya, overly didactic. Babes.
How could you, babes?
Oh, I'm sorry, babes. I can be your Stacey again, I can.
Never stray to the dark side again, babes.
No way, babes. That is about as likely to happen as the gardener's question time panel planting their begonias in February. Oh, crap, babes.
Oh, crap, babes.
Oh, crap, babes.
Oh, crap, babes.
Oh.
Hobbits, the final battle is upon us. Sauron has massed his forces at the gates of Minas Tirith, and Gondor must either defeat them or fall forever.
Our courage shall not be found wanting, Gandalf.
Then let us unleash the full power of the Fellowship upon the armies of Mordor!
There will now be a 3-minute hydration break.
This is Times Radio, and I'm Andrew Neil. The live-action orangutan from the Jungle Book. Now, this week's social media ban for under-16s has been a rare occasion of cross-party agreement. I'm joined now by Kemi Badenoch.
Good morrow, Andrew Neil of Times Radio.
Well, Miss Badenoch, you actually agree with this new legislation from the Labour government?
Well, not quite, Andrew, as I would actually go even further and say that we should all be spending less time on our phones. As you can see here, mine is turned off completely.
Miss Badenoch, that's not a phone, that's a taxidermied stoat tied to a Japanese encyclopedia.
And as a result, it doesn't have TikTok, making it incredibly safe. And as a low-energy weirdo with a newfound mojo, I believe it is my responsibility to set an example with my own social media use. For instance, I've also stopped posting photographs.
To Instagram?
No, through people's letterboxes. Previously, I liked to share the framed family portraits of the 17th century Hungarian royal family by posting them through strangers' doors. I've also stopped tweeting.
I think I can see where this is going.
I used to sit in a tree and join in with the dawn chorus. But now I do not.
I see.
Instead, I emit a series of clicks while hanging upside down in a cave to see whether a bat's thoughts start at the end and work backwards.
Righto.
And bats are rarely on Snapchat, making it incredibly safe.
Well, let's end it there, shall we? Because you're really freaking me out now. I spent 10 years talking to Diane Abbott. Kemi Badenoch, thank you.
The wallpaper in my house is stuck to the wall with pesto.
Hello, losers. Great job. It's a great honor to be here in the palatial French palace of Versailles. In France, sitting in this beautiful golden room, inspired by my bathroom in Mar-a-Lago. Alongside President Macron and his lovely mother, Bridget. To sign this historic peace plan with the nasty Islamic Republic of Iran. This is a memorandum of understanding, or MOU. Not many people know this, but the letters MO and U can also be found in the word moose. M-O-U-S-E. Most people don't know that. That's why I'm president. And you're not. Only the Donald could have spent $113 billion on bombing a place in order to reopen a waterway that was already open before I started bombing it to ensure Iran never gets a nuclear bomb, which it didn't have. This memorandum of understanding will go down in history as a major, major, major triumph. Unless it all goes to hell, in which case I will always deny signing it. Just like I did with Jeffrey Epstein's birthday card.
Order, order. Questions to the Prime Minister. The Deputy Prime Minister, David Lammy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've been asked to reply on behalf of the Prime Minister, who's attending the G7 summit.
David, David, it's your inner monologue again. Just popping in to help you with what must be your most stressful gig ever.
Acting for the official opposition, the Shadow Secretary of State, Claire Coutinho.
Mr. Speaker, why is the British government happy to get its oil and gas from Russia or Qatar, but not from Aberdeen?
Why? That's a great question, isn't it, David? I don't have a clue what the answer is. Do you, David?
Mr. Speaker, what I would say to the Honourable Lady is that this government...
I hope you're not going to say... It's doing quite a good job, actually.
It's doing quite a good job, actually.
Oh, David.
Mr. Speaker, if everything's so hunky-dory, why did half his defence team quit this week?
Boom! She's got you dead, David. You haven't got an answer to that.
Mr. Speaker, the answer to that...
You don't have one, David. I just told you that.
The answer... to that.
Stop trying to give an answer when you haven't got an answer, David.
The answer to that
guards.
Do something to distract her, David. Grab the mace. Drop your trousers.
The answer, my friend...
You better not start doing Bob Dylan lyrics, David.
...is blowing in the wind.
Next question.
I have a question, if I may. Mr. Speaker, can I ask the Right Honourable Gentleman why he's such a complete and utter lammy?
I've got a tip-off, Sue. Time to move.
This is BBC Radio 4's Intrigue to Catch a King, the hit investigative podcast where we try to make every last second sound as dangerous and dramatic as possible. Sue Mitchell, I'm a reporter, and my friend Rob Laurie is ex-army.
And I always talk urgently and breathlessly like this because we can't take even the slightest risk.
But you forget how tense things are. This week, we're in Calais. As usual, Rob, he's ex-army, goes off on his own, and despite us having to be quiet all the time, he calls me on my phone.
So, are you there?
Rob is ex-army. What is it, Rob?
Do you want a coffee?
Deep in the heart of Calais, Rob is in a Starbucks.
It's the break we needed, Sue.
Because of editing, I've immediately joined him.
There's eyes on us, Sue.
This is another dramatic thing Rob says a lot, because of the danger. He says it whether it's CCTV, a tourist taking a selfie, or because there's a nearby person with eyes.
Run, Sue, run!
Rob is ex-army. Why, Rob, why?
Shot, Sue, two shots!
Of caramel, Rob, in my latte.
He's got a gun.
It's not a gun, Rob. It's a milk frother.
Abort mission! Abort mission! Back to the forest.
Yes, because somehow we've once again ended up in a forest full of sound effects because of the danger.
We've been searching for clues with no luck because, as usual, it's pitch black.
Rob is ex-army.
Freeze! Sue! Don't take another step.
What is it, Rob?
I fear this is the end.
Even for us, this is new and treacherous territory. Rob confirms it.
We've run out of forest.
Join us next time.
Because of the danger.
Back in the pitch black.
On to catch a king.
Rob is ex-army.
Dead Ringers was performed by John Culshaw, Jan Ravens, Lewis MacLeod, Jess Robinson and Duncan Wisby. It was written by Nev Fountain and Tom Jameson, Lawrence Howe, Alice Bright, Sophie Dixon, John Holmes, Tom Coles, Joe Topping.
There will now be a 3-minute hydration break.
With additional material by Rachel E. Thorne, Declan Kennedy, Cooper Marwini Swert, Dead Ringers is a BBC Studios production. It was created by Bill Dare, and the producer is John Holmes.
And Dead Ringers will be back at the same time, 6:30 next Friday. Next tonight, we are bound for Ambridge, where the stress builds for Amber and Will attempts to make a good impression in The Archers. Beyond that, music from the official longest partnership in pop is in the mix tonight. Find out who that might be on Add to Playlist at 7:15.
I'm Tony Hawkes. I'm exploring what gets in the way of us being able to be more playful here in the UK.
So I've got to the courts now, and guess what? They're locked.
Everything from tennis, my favourite sport, to wild swimming.
Intimidating signage about not swimming, it's private or it's prohibited.
What happens when access to play starts shrinking everywhere? And why does that matter to every single one of us?
I think it does have that sort of upper class stigma attached to it still, doesn't it?
Tony Hawkes just wants to play. Next Monday to Friday at 1:45. To listen on your smart speaker, just say Play Radio 4.